Next up on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it's Bathrob Spears Broadsides. And unfortunately, it's only going to be on the stream, I suspect, today because we're having problems with our server. We can stream it, but we can't archive it. And we haven't been able to archive shows from either the previous Sunday or the previous Thursday. So, damn. But we're going to try and fix that, or I'm going to be hoping that somebody is. And if not, we'll have to, I don't know, shoot the techies or look for other techies or something. So stay with us. We're also going to be going through a flashback, which is back in 1994, right before Free Radio actually began broadcasting, a year before, where you get to hear me and then, I guess he was council member at that time, Mike Rotkin, debating the proposed city anti-panhandling, anti-sitting, anti-homeless ordinances that were being shoveled through city council, sort of similar to 2022 in its own way, although it was an expansion around the sleeping ban. The sleeping ban didn't really, I think they made it slightly worse back in 1994, but the real issue was to get rid of homeless people visibly downtown, to eliminate visible poverty. It provoked all kinds of protests when they went after Food Not Bombs, which then served in front of what is now Five Guys Restaurant and was then a parking lot after the Ford's department store had been leveled by the earthquake, or damaged and then leveled. So also we're going to look at the OVO victory, and that's surprising, interesting, and unexpected. Special tip of the hat to the ACLU and the Disability Coalition attorneys who kicked the ass of our local Coastal Commission flunkies who were all set to just lick the butt of the city council's reactionary majority and pass this on to the Coastal Commission with a recommendation that it be rubber-stamped by being declared no substantial issues. They can just be done without a really much discussion or debate. They tried that before in 2016 and failed, but they're they don't care. They're unflaggable. They do it again and again and again. We have to rise to stop them. And it's, I'll be talking more about that a little bit, but again, I don't even know if this is going to go out much because it's going to be a while before we get archived. By that time, all you loyal listeners may be off loyally listening to something else, so we'll see what we can do.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So, yesterday I received a pleasant surprise in correspondence from Reggie Meisler, who is one of the principal appellants, that is to say, someone who appealed the OVO, the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance, or it's more the Outsiders Vamoose Ordinance, the OVO, that's another way of looking at it. That's the, it goes after 22-foot folks, vehicles, folks who are parked 20, that, not 20, people whose vehicles are 22 feet long or longer, or parked between midnight and 5 in the coastal zone, which is a large swath of land covering, I don't know if it's half the city, but it's certainly a major chunk of it. And so getting the Coastal Commission to say you can't do this here without further careful documentation and assessment, which the city had refused to do 6 years ago when it presented a similar ordinance to the Coastal Commission, almost an identical one, in fact, means that they can't enforce any of it in the city except through their nasty permit parking program, which they've been doing for years. But that tends to require going neighborhood by neighborhood, and impatient reactionaries like Cynthia Matthews and Donna Myers just don't want to do that. So they prefer to have the entire thing, have the entire OVOs dumped in a single swoop, which a number of communities have done. They've done it because they haven't been challenged, this is my impression, to the Coastal Commission. That is something that I can perhaps document and take up and get more information on and pass on to you at a later time, although it may not be necessary, because for a couple of reasons. Even if we win this fight, and it looks like now we might, the odds have significantly improved to win this fight. I always thought the odds were pretty good, because the Coastal Commission last time overruled its own staff, which is usually high up the ass of the city council's staff here in Santa Cruz, and working with them diligently to find ways to give them what they want, which in this case is to criminalize poor and homeless people in vehicles, or let's put it this way, to run those darn vehicles off the street because some folks are nervous about the people who live in them, and they're unsightly, and they have problems. We aren't going to try to, of course, find ways to mitigate the situation by providing facilities of some kind for people who live in their vehicles, because they have no housing, and the city council hasn't provided any of that or made it available to workers, for that matter, but simply rushed on to increase their tax base with essentially luxury housing downtown and elsewhere, and then some minor subsidized housing compared to the numbers of other developments. I'd like to see someone do an analysis of that, because it's been my impression, perhaps simply my prejudice, that the subsidized housing is far less than the housing that is provided for those who are well-to-do and can kick in lots of bucks if they do. I don't know actually what vacancy rates there and how much of it is simply real estate speculation. It's a good question. So one of the problems I have doing this show on Thursday morning, which is when I'm doing it, is I'm also rushing to get the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom agenda, out and make sure that we've got stuff to actually address and maybe act on. That would be novel and a good idea. Actually, sometimes we do, but rarely these days. And that kind of takes up my time, puts me under pressure, and makes me rattle on in ways perhaps that I shouldn't, because you folks listening may not be as well acquainted with these issues as some of us who like to dip our wick in them a lot, or seem to find ourselves doing that. And that's what I do anyway. Anyway, what I'm saying is it was a pleasant Wednesday for me yesterday, because at least in some respects, I got the word from Reggie Meisler, who had just been sent the staff's amended report. Apparently, the ACLU and the Disability Rights Coalition, which also filed an appeal against the OVO law, saying it discriminated against folks in their vehicles, because it may not matter that much to the Coastal Commission, though it seemed to a bit in the last time we went to appeal a similar ordinance in 2016. It may not matter a lot that homeless people are being displaced from their homes, that they're criminalized everywhere in town as far as sleeping goes, that the city is continuing its usual practice of enforcing away visible homeless instead of providing true pathways to housing, or at least pathways to survival in the meantime, or pathways to constitutional protection in the meantime. So the significant thing I heard from Reggie was that because of this ACLU letter, which was sent about a week ago to the Coastal Commission denouncing their finding that the OVO is perfectly fine, that no substantial issue was raised, and that the full Coastal Commission could simply roll right ahead and rubber stamp it without further ado, was a section of the ordinance that had not been focused on either by me in 2016, since it was largely the same ordinance, or by Santa Cruz Cares, or by me in my netcasts here, in talking about the ordinance and discussing it with various people, which is, well, you're going to hear about this because I'm going to read to you next the staff report's decision. But in a few words, there's not simply a ban on oversized vehicles 22 feet or longer not being able to park anywhere after midnight, from midnight to 5, but it also is a 24-hour law that bans them from 54% or something of the parking area in the city throughout the day, 365 days a year, if they are within 100 feet of intersections, traffic lights, stop signs, things of that sort, which puts a large section of the city off or out of their purview, out of their ability to park there. And that certainly denies a lot of public access, not just to homeless people, but to anybody in an oversized vehicle. And that's the issue that we had found in the past that persuaded the Coastal Commission, which I brought to the Coastal Commission years ago, was, well, they don't have storage facilities for people to go and park legally. And so you are, in fact, denying people coastal access by saying you're going to give them tickets and fines if they park at night or, say, overnight somewhere on a public land as they go through, because you aren't providing any alternatives. The city insisted, oh, there are churches that people can go to, but they didn't have any details and anything specific. And so in this new ordinance, they cooked up this phony safe parking program. I say phony because it's token, because it has high barriers, and because it is clearly designed to facilitate enforcement. It has nothing to do with real assistance for people in vehicles or real attempts to deal with the homeless situation or to deal with any problems that may come from people who aren't homeless but who are passing through, a waste disposal, things of that sort. Because they haven't set up facilities to do that, and they still haven't done that. They're posing it as a promise, as it's something they will do. I think they have two parking lots they've set up for what's called Tier 2 activity, which is an overnight parking, but with a whole elaborate set of rules, which people passing through are not going to sign on to, likely. And where are they going to find these places? I think there are only 6 spots at the moment. There's one spot in the police department that has not been used much at all, because homeless folks, who this is supposedly a great charity for, are not interested in dealing with the police department, particularly many of them, because the police department has traditionally been the folks that round them up, and they may have outstanding warrants, et cetera, et cetera. And we're talking about crap warrants, you know, for probation violations that have nothing to do with real crimes, or for homeless infractions, such as sitting too near a building, not vending properly when you're displaying stuff you want to pass on for donation downtown or on the wharf. Although that has not been a real problem lately, although people have been tricked or coerced into paying big fees for vending licenses, and I will hopefully be talking about that in a future conversation on one of these netcasts. And the second reason that in 2016 the Coastal Commission turned down the city's quick rubber stamp this, and the local coastal commission staff saying quick rubber stamp this, was because it is clearly an anti-homeless law that suggests that homeless people are criminals, and it doesn't provide the documentation to show this, the evidence. It isn't there. And the same thing is still true in 2022. There are obviously some criminal activity going on among the homeless, stealing bread and that sort of thing. But the current laws can address that issue. You don't have to criminalize everybody to deal with it. It's sort of like treating all black people as criminals because you find that police are having fun arresting a lot of black people and shooting a number of them too. So anyway, the ACLU letter and the disability rights letter to the Coastal Commission's local lapdog people, that lapdog to the city council, not to the Coastal Commission's mandate, which is to protect and provide public access to the coast for everybody, not just the wealthy. They found that this 100-foot, 24-hour-a-day, 365-day-a-year ban for many locations in the city was simply too much, and it weighed against it, and it was a significant issue and had to be really more fully decided by the Coastal Commission. And once that is accepted, if that interpretation, that staff interpretation, is accepted by the Coastal Commission, you never can tell what they're going to do, and they will be meeting, will have met today, actually, by the time I've given this, if you're able to hear this at 6 o'clock on Thursday the 14th, the issue will have been decided, whether it's a significant issue, which means that they're going to hold off on the OVO and say, whoa, Nelly, or whether they're going to allow it to be rubber stamped. That'll have already been decided. Probably read about it in tomorrow's Urinal, which is to say the Santa Cruz Sentinel, for those who like fancy names for crappy papers. So let's hear what the staff report says after the ACLU's 9-page letter reached them. I'm not going to read it. I think I may post it on Santa Cruz Indie Media in the days to come. And who knows, maybe we can post some of the Coastal Commission discussion if any of it happens. It likely will just be a quick vote, but who knows? I'm not sufficiently conversant with them and haven't followed enough of their procedures to give you any really good predictions. But here's what they wrote. And this is the addendum to the California Coastal Commission's item 14A, which is the appeal of the OVO ordinance that it's considering today, or it has already considered today by this time. I'm just going to read a few selections from it because it's 2.5 pages long, and I don't have a lot of time. This recent revised staff recommendation is necessary because in the time since the staff report was distributed, that's where they said, oh, there's no problem, ratify the OVO, everything's great, staff received important new information from both the appellants and from the city of Santa Cruz as regards the full extent of the city-approved project. And supposedly, you can see the correspondence package for the new information they got. It doesn't look to me like they got much new information. It looks like both they and Santa Cruz Cares and I, both in 2016 and in my letter opposing this to the various bodies of Santa Cruz City Council, the zoning administrator, the appeal to the zoning administrator, didn't really focus on, which is the 100-foot setbacks that are required and essentially make no parking zones throughout the city 24 hours a day, which is a significant reduction of public access. And I apologize for not seeing this, but I didn't see it, and neither did a lot of people in the Santa Cruz Cares. Or if they did, I didn't notice it in much of their appeal discussion. Specifically, in addition to the midnight to 5 a.m. oversized vehicle parking prohibition that staff evaluated in the original staff report, staff learned that the city-approved project also includes restrictions against parking oversized vehicles at any time, 24 hours a day and 365 days per year, within 100 feet of any crosswalk, intersection, stop sign, official electric flashing device, or approach to any traffic signal. The city estimates that such a restriction would entirely eliminate some 54% of oversized vehicle parking areas in the coastal zone, and this number may actually be higher. The city asserts that the 100-foot no parking buffer is important for public safety reasons because pedestrians, bicyclists, and other vehicles cannot see through oversized vehicles, and this could lead to collisions and other safety problems at intersections. However, the city already implements a parking prohibition for all vehicles within 20 feet of intersections, albeit not through the LCP, which is the local coastal zone, for similar public safety purposes. And while it might be true that oversized vehicles may pose additional line-of-sight issues, no clear evidence, this is often the issue that I have with the city council's anti-homeless stuff, has been presented as to why an additional 80 feet or a total of 100 feet or a five times larger buffer of no parking area is needed and or appropriate, especially as it applies to all of the specific buffer cases identified, i.e. within 100 feet of not only intersections, but also crosswalks, stop signs, official electric flashing devices, and approaches to traffic signals. Thus, the degree of public safety problem is not clearly defined and not clearly tied back to evidence suggesting that such a 100-foot prohibition is indeed warranted for public safety purposes. In any case, the 100-foot oversized vehicle parking restriction that would apply 24 hours per day and 365 days per year would restrict such parking in a large swath of the city's coastal zone at all times, daytime and nighttime, eliminating parking options for oversized vehicles on 28 miles at least of city coastal zone streets, a 54% loss of such parking areas. Thus, while the staff's original analysis was that the city's action would have a limited impact on public access based on an understanding that it was limited to a midnight to 5 a.m. nighttime period, in addition, the city-approved project would have quite a large impact on public access users using oversized vehicles at all times, including reducing their ability to access and enjoy the coastal zone during daytime as well. So I could read more, and I suggest I probably will maybe put up this report, and you can certainly find it online. But the point, actually, that's really, there are two points, or more, actually, but let me start with these. And maybe finish with these because of time problems. First of all, this 24-hour, 100-foot setback is something that the Coastal Commission, with its many hard workers and its fancy reports and its footnoted long recommendations to the Coastal Commission, that originally said on two different occasions, 2016 and again this month in 2022, actually I think it was last month, it's fine. There's no problems with this. There's no limiting on public access. They didn't even mention this 100-foot deal. And it shows you how subservient they are, but not just that, how we overlook sometimes the obvious because we're focused on the outrageous, which is the banning at night of homeless folks, because that's so clearly what this is really about. It's important that we understand the whole picture, and it's amazing that this group of individuals paid with your taxpayer dollars didn't grasp this fact, probably because they work so closely with the city staff and who are so eager to turn out a product that's okay with the city council and the city staff. City council is often in the hands of the city staff. I don't know if that was the case this time. There were some who said that the original OVO ordinance by Rochelle Naroyan, a councilwoman back then, was something the city staff didn't like, but they went along with. But if they didn't like it, they should have said so, and they didn't, and instead they backed it up, and they embarrassed themselves in front of the Coastal Commission when our side won because of the obvious lack of storage facilities and the obvious lack of evidence that homeless people in their vehicles are a criminal danger in Santa Cruz. The second point is it's not going to be in any way a real assurance, golden key, sacred decision that we're finding here, because it's the police who run around enforcing this stuff along with Deborah Elston and her volunteers. Well, they're in the police department. And they haven't stopped, even when the Coastal Commission overturned the last OVO and sent it back. The police just kept on their merry way going after vehicles in the coastal zone. They used other laws, 72-hour law, and they also posted signs that were clearly in violation of the Coastal Commission's statement. You have to get a permit from the local coastal board before you do that, and the local coastal board, through Ryan Maroney, or Maroney, told me that they'd never given such permits, but that they were going to certainly have a nice, harsh talking to those city officials who were doing that. But, of course, whatever the outcome of that so-called harsh talking, if it ever happened, it had no consequences. And people were still being ticketed. No parking signs were being put up in coastal zones where they shouldn't have been. And that's been going on even in the midst of the COVID scene, although I think probably less so. So that's kind of my update, and I hope it hasn't put everybody to sleep. But that's some of the story. Now we're going to turn to a flashback from, I guess it's February of 1994, where KSCO, the notorious reactionary AM radio station, run by my old buddy Mike Zwirling, has me on, actually, because I was considered a bad boy in those days, versus a council member and previously mayor Mike Rotkin debating ordinances cooked up by Ryan Coonerty, make that Neil Coonerty, his father, who was mayor the previous year in 1993, and then became supervisor years later. In any case, a whole series of ordinances that really went after activists who were demanding the city stop enforcing the sleeping ban, because at that time we had what was the Tobe decision that was handed down in Southern California, which stated that it violated the sleeping ban, the law against camping anywhere and everywhere or anywhere at all. That is, you can't, there were no legal places for people to sleep at night. And that impacted, I think, between 1,000 and 2,000 people in Santa Cruz, though the counting was a little unclear. So a lot of the subject is self-explanatory. There will be no musical breaks, however, except for KSCO's. I think I was able to cut out the commercial breaks. I hope I was. I'm pretty sure I did when I recorded this, 25 to 30 years ago? Gosh, it's almost 30 years ago. And I was 94. Yeah, it's almost 30 years ago. And check it out. You get to, it's the same myths have to be challenged. The same phony narrative has to be exposed and corrected. We got the same jobs in front of us, and it's just, it's gotten worse, although some token starts have been made, mostly because of the COVID situation. However, we got a long, it's not just a long, long way to go, it's that things are getting worse, in my view, and they, at the political level, it doesn't seem like there is much opportunity for rational dialogue, as there really never has been. It really stems from direct action. That's true for, whether it's true for ending the war in Ukraine or ending the nuclear arming of the nations and the suicide pact that we all seem tied to with Biden and Putin. It's up to us, folks. Sorry, you got to get up. You got to get out on the streets, and stay out on the streets. Do as I do, not as I do as I say, not as I do, because I'm not out on the streets, but that's what needs to be done. So call me out, make me come out. I'll try and join you.